Welcome back. Very honored to be joined now by Assembly Member-elect Betty Carnett. Betty, welcome back to Straight Talk.
Thank you. Thank you.
By the time this show airs, Betty will have been sworn in as an Assembly Member, but this is her last interview as a sitting senator. By the time this airs, she will be in the Assembly. And this is her first interview as a Assembly Member-elect. So welcome both. And as we used to joke, Betty actually was our longest running guest because she was on for 3 months when we temporarily went off the air, but the show continued to repeat. But anyway, Betty, welcome to the show. Congratulations on your rather resounding victory. It was not as close as some people thought it might be. And so congratulations.
Well, I really appreciate the support everybody's given me, because when you get support like that, you realize this is a wonderful area. And I really appreciate all the people that supported me. And even if they didn't, I still care. And I want them to realize I represent everybody.
And the 54th Assembly District was considered a competitive district in play, unlike most of the others.
That's
so
true.
It was a real race.
It was. And we worked hard. And I had many, many volunteers.
Sure. Well, Betty, as you assume your new offices with the Assembly, what do you see as the major challenge facing Sacramento and the state?
There are several, but since the 54th includes the Long Beach and the Los Angeles ports, I feel like goods movement and the environmental concerns that go along with it, as well as the economic concerns, are really the biggest issue in this area. They're related directly to job creation and education, because we've got to have an educated workforce. And that's really what I see as my role: education, transportation, environmental, and job creation, environmental concerns and job creation.
And in the Senate, you sat, I believe, as the chair of the Transportation Committee.
I did. Yes, I did, for a period of time.
And transportation is absolutely critical to the smooth movement of goods from the harbor and from the ports. And I know one of the proposals that's so important is this 24-hour gate proposal.
Yes, I think we have to start with extended gate hours and move into eventually, I don't know how long it will take, to 24-hour. I think that's our ultimate goal. But it's really going to take the cooperation of all the players, because it affects everybody, and everybody has to be a part of the solution. Therefore, I really am going to work very hard with the Business Transportation and Housing Association, Sonny McPeak, who is the head of that agency, in order to work with the private sector, because the private sector does the work. The private sector works with the public sector, that's the way to get things done.
And it would seem to me that to incentivize receiving warehouses and others that are part of the transportation mix to extend the gate hours, giving them an economic rationale to do it, will help make this a reality.
Oh, I'm positive of that, and studies have shown that. We've worked with various leaders at the university level who study transportation nationwide, and we really have excellent information.
Yeah, I was at your seminar at the Carpenter Center a few months ago. Let's talk about the budget, because that affects all of us, and we've taken a good bite out of the deficit, but my reading indicates that we're still facing a $15 billion structural deficit next year. How are we going to fix that?
That's a very good question, Art. I think all of us are going to have to work very hard. I don't know the answer. I do know that the budget, the big items in the budget, there are three big items: corrections, education, and health care. Those are the three big items. Now, we can talk about efficiency, which I support very much.
You're
so
against waste and abuse and fraud,
but I mean,
for the record.
Well, no, but I'm a very efficient person myself.
Yes, I do.
And if you look at my record, you'll see that I am. But it's not just that won't solve the problem,
no
matter how efficient we are. So we have got to look at what we can do without, and we're going to need more help from the federal government. There's no doubt about it. And we give a dollar to the federal government, we get 77 cents back. We need, particularly in transportation and health care.
Also, we need help in port security, because both ports are national security assets. And it seems to me obvious that they would be a prime terrorist target. And although there has been some hardening of the ports, not nearly enough money compared to the huge amount of money that's gone into transportation, air safety, which is important. But the ports are also very important and vulnerable.
Absolutely. And I'm looking forward. I talk to as many people as I can. And I work with leaders of port communities nationwide. We need to get together all the ports so that what we do convinces Congress of our needs. And that means all of us have to work together.
Well, maybe with Mayor O'Neill being the head of the National City League, I don't have quite the correct name, but she is now the nation's mayor. Maybe she can put in a few good words.
I'm sure she can, and we'll work together on this, believe me.
But getting back to the budget deficit, transportation, health care, and prisons, the amending of the three-strike law did not pass. That would have eliminated the requirement that if the third strike was a nonviolent felony, that 25-year to life would not automatically be triggered. The prison population has grown dramatically. The guards unions have an awful lot of clout up there in Sacramento, and there have been some well-publicized abuses in the prison system. So what are you and the legislature going to do about that?
Well, I sat on the Rules Committee when I was in the Senate, and I also served on the committee with Senator Jackie Speier and Senator Gloria Romero and other senators, Senator Brulte, Senator Kuhl, others, on the review of the prison, of the correction system. And I think Rod Hickman is trying to really improve
the prison director.
The prison, he's the head of the agency, corrections. And I want to work with him, and I think we've got to cut back on some of extra overtime. And one of the things that makes so much overtime necessary has to do with the health care of inmates. Now, inmates should get good health care, we all agree. But the cost of transporting people to hospitals and the fact that many hospitals won't take them. We need to look at that. I'm sure that we can get a more efficient system there, save lots of money. We can, judges can use more discretion. Some people, especially a lot of drug addicts, could be housed in a house with the doors locked. I mean, they're not going to try to escape. And we need to look at that. They don't need overtime, excessive overtime, and excessive guards. And I have not been supported by the guards.
And I know at the federal level, over half of the federally imprisoned inmates, over half of our federal prison population are there for nonviolent drug-related offenses, which is not economically useful. But we need to take a commercial break. We'll be back after these messages. Welcome back. Continuing our discussion and conversation with Assemblymember-elect Betty Carnett, who everyone agrees is one of the most likable legislators up there in SAC. I don't know anyone who doesn't really like Betty, although they may not agree with her views on given issues. If Betty stands for anything, she stands for education, a former teacher herself. And give us your fix and your read on where California education stands today.
Frankly, Art, we are in much better shape than statistics would tend to indicate. We test all children. There was an episode of Focus on the Lehrer NewsHour just recently about one of the states, I won't say which one, one of the states, students that are doing poorly are taken out of the mix and told to get GEDs. They're not even counted. We count everybody. We work for every child. Now, I'm not saying every child gets the benefit, but I think a good teacher and with all the help from the community that we can get, California's education is not nearly in the sad state that people would think.
What about higher education in the state, Betty?
Well, higher education really got hit. The budget cuts have really hurt higher ed. And the separation between the students who are middle class and better is really expanding, and the ones who really need education is really widening. And I would like so much to help higher education, particularly some way to help the students who try so hard. I'm not one of these teachers who says everybody has to make all A's. I want people to be good citizens. Some of our best citizens and greatest thinkers have not been the highest academically.
Some actually never even went to college.
That's true. I think Bill Gates being one. But he went to college, but I don't think he had got a degree. But it's very important that we continue our attitude caring about the student. And that's what I want to do. And I want everybody to have an opportunity to get an education.
But how does that translate into legislative action?
Okay. What I want to do is I want to get in more into making education available for everyone. For example, remediation, whatever that may be, takes a lot of time at the college level. I think adult education, perhaps, could be the way to go there. It would be less expensive for the state and the taxpayer. The teachers would still get paid well, but it would be less expensive if that were taken out of higher ed. We also should have vocational training, all kinds of training and education. But adult education should be funded. We should have more funding, remove a lot of the caps we have, and allow everybody to learn English. And not just people, there are many people who are native speakers who don't really speak well and can't write.
And I think the statistics show clearly that the single most important ingredient for economic success is proficiency in English.
Absolutely. And it could be somebody from the mountains of West Virginia as well as...
Or Kentucky. Gerrymandering, a huge problem, in my judgment, and one of the structural causes of legislative gridlock, the fact that most districts are safe, the 54th being an exception, and therefore the real race is in the primary. And whoever wins the primary automatically gets elected, and that results in the election of liberal Democrats and conservative Republicans, creating gridlock. How do we fix the gerrymandering problem?
Years ago, there was something on the ballot that asked for an independent group. I happen to have voted for that. That was before I was in the legislature. I still support that concept. I do think that an independent group drawing the lines would be better for communities, and I think it would keep our legislators more responsive and not being so extreme on both sides.
Yeah, I really think that the voters should elect the legislators rather than the legislators selecting which voters they want.
Well,
just a personal opinion.
No, I'm inclined to agree with you. Really, I voted years ago. I voted for just that.
Well, Betty, you've had a distinguished career up in Sacramento, and we have a minute or two left. Just reflect back on what you've accomplished and what you hope to accomplish and as you assume your new duties.
I feel I've done a lot for women, particularly battered women who were... One of my bills actually allowed women who were convicted before 1992 to use that as a defense, and many of them are now at home with their children because of that. And I'm very pleased with the fact that I continued the tax tax exemption for the bunker fuel tax in this area, which saved many jobs. I'm happy about my work that I've done in education for getting money for schools and colleges and keeping and continuing to have scholarships. I really supported that. And I plan to continue in the same line.
Well, this is the holiday season, and one of our watchwords here on Straight Talk is the philosophy of gratitude, that the road to happiness is to be deeply grateful for all of the blessings that we have. And we live in this wonderful country, America, and we live in this glorious state, California, and many of us in Long Beach and neighboring communities, and we have family and friends, and we have so much to be grateful for.
Oh, and I agree, and I think we often forget what freedom really means. It means the right to express your opinion and to actually disagree if you choose, but resolving issues by looking at the problem. And I want to wish everybody the happiest of holidays, and just remember, we're all the same underneath.
Betty Karnette couldn't say it better. Thank you so much. And thank you for joining us, and we wish all of you and yours the very happiest for the holiday season. Good night, everyone.
Straight Talk has been brought to you by Southern California Edison and other fine sponsors. Support the quality sponsors who support Straight Talk.